This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Celia Rivenbark doesn't sweat much for a fat girl, and she's proud to say it. So proud, in fact, she pasted that title across her newest collection of humorous essays. If you own any of Celia's other books, You Can't Drink All Day If You Don't Start in the Morning, Stop Dressing Your Six-Year-Old Like a Skank, or Bless Your Heart, Tramp, this one will feel right at home beside them on your bookshelf. Celia lives in Wilmington. Her syndicated column appears locally in the News and Observer, and she joins us now to talk about the glamorous life of a Southern humor writer. Celia, welcome back to the program. It's good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank. I'm so glad to be back here.
It's great to have you back. Great to see that you're out with another book and another provocative title. You don't sweat much for a fat girl.
Yeah, and actually the title, I cannot lie, came from an Andy Griffith episode that I treasured many years ago. And I think it was perhaps Andy trying to coach Otis on how to say sweet nothings. And so that, to Otis, was a sweet nothing. It didn't go well at all.
That was really on the show?
Yeah, really on the show.
Mm. But see, you've been at this a while now, and you've gained a certain measure of fame. We know you here in the Triangle and the greater Apex area. They're always talking about
this. The Triangle is very loyal to me.
How do you keep all that from going to your head?
Oh, I don't. I'm a total big head, complete jerk about it.
You traveled in pretty good circles. Now, here's the thing, kind of a sad story, because you tried to get David Sedaris to blurb your book.
I did. He's a terrible small man. No, he's not.
Well, yes, he won't do this show either.
I feel better.
From Raleigh, and he's big fancy pants in France, lives in France.
Right.
Will not blurb your book. No, he won't do the show.
No. It was really stinky, too, because, and I write about this, I was the last person, I'd say the auditorium, it was at UNC Wilmington, huge crowd, standing room only, maybe a couple of thousand people. I was number 2,000. You know, I was the last one. I figured, you know, that he might be kind of weak by the time I got to him. So I held my little book in my sweaty little hands, and I said, oh, Mr. Sedaris, it would just mean the world to me. You know, just a blurb, it could change everything for me. And I love his work. And he just looked at me after I made my speech, and he said, no.
There you go.
And I was like, dude, let me down easy. You know? No, really? Is that the best you got?
Disappointing, unfortunate, of course. And you, both of you, really have personal connections here. You know, he's got the rooster here in North Carolina. You got your Aunt Verly.
I do have Aunt Verly.
Tell us about her.
God bless her heart. Aunt Verly is the last of the great Southern women. Lee Smith always said, we just put our crazy people out on the front porch. We don't hide them. And Aunt Verly is a perfect example of that. My favorite story about Verly is that she gives all the women at Christmas. She's very crafty. So she makes little bedroom slippers for the women in the family using maxi pads that she glue guns little pink roses to. And I always say that they're actually pretty good looking, not to mention highly absorbent. So, you know.
Do you have an Aunt Verly? How much of her is a part of your real life?
Verly is probably, to be truthful, Verly is a composite of two aunts and a cousin. And they're all Verly.
Do they know this when they read your...
As I was saying earlier to a friend, the joy of being a Rivenbark from the country is none of my family knows how to read. So it's not really a problem. I can get away with all sorts of things. And they certainly never listen to lovely shows like this. You know, it's country music all the time.
So if they ever found out, would you be worried?
I would be worried, yeah, because they're all packing, you know. Yeah, I would worry.
Back in the truck, Celia. Got a surprise for you. You have become active on Twitter.
I have. The publisher, I'm with St. Martin's and have been since, gosh, I guess 2000. And they are very into new media, which scares me to death. But I tweet now. And my tweets are quite a bit different from the weekly newspaper column and even the books. They're just a little randier, you know, which I really enjoy. I mean, it's 140 characters, but you can say a lot of really, really... really dicey stuff in 140
But it seems
characters.
To me there's nothing more antithetical to a great Southern storyteller than 140 characters.
Good point. It was super hard at first. I mean, when I first tweeted, I thought it was 140 words. So I was like having the time of my life. And I went to file it or whatever you do, hit the little button, and the bird said, no, what are you talking about? You know, so I had to back. I was like, 140 letters? Are you serious?
Wow.
So it is confining. But on the other hand, it forces you to really, really concentrate on what's important.
Would you read for us? I'd love to hear something from the book, the new book. Celia Rivenbark is my guest. You Don't Sweat Much for a Fat Girl, the latest collection.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to read something for you. And I'd like to read actually the first some of the first chapter, if that's okay with you.
Well, yeah.
And this is about, I started taking yoga class, which is pretty funny for a country girl, you know. I mean, yoga, what do we know from
they
yoga?
They even offer it where you live?
Yeah. Well, in Wilmington, which is, you know, a little bit more snooty, they do. And it's even at the art museum.
Oh.
So the downside of doing that is the school kids, they have buses of school kids coming there. And you got these, you know, old women with their butts in the sky, you know, along with the Surratt and the, you know, all the fancy paintings. So it's a little embarrassing when the school buses disgorge and there you are with your butt in the sky. But, yeah, so the first chapter, I do talk about my yoga experience. And I didn't really take to it like a lot of people do. I took it as a time where I could do nothing but lay down, perhaps go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't work. It just didn't work quite like the way I wanted it to. And so the instructor, when it was all over, she actually had to wake me up. And I said, I'm just never going to be one of those people that has the bumper sticker that says my other car is a yoga mat. I'm never going to be one of those people. But, you know, I did take my yard sale yoga mat, one that I'd borrowed from my friend. What I say here is that some of the women looked puzzled when I lay down and stayed down. But what can I tell you? It was the first time and for freaking ever that I'd had some me time, phone off, panties granny, and it felt absolutely wonderful. Laying there while the others practiced some serious deep breathing and challenging poses, I understood why everybody loves yoga. I went to sleep. It's absolutely true. And she
You really did?
I did, because it was so relaxing. And she nudged me with her foot at the end of class.
You stayed just the whole time? Because they do, I mean, there's a lot of downtime, but they do chat a little bit.
You know, they do. But I had told her repeatedly, perhaps upwards of 100 times, that I'd never done yoga before, because I wanted the bar to be set really low. But, you know, and I got interested because I read that Eat, Pray, Love. Do you remember that book?
Yeah.
Where the chick ate 11 pizzas in one day and just negated it all with yoga. Mm. So I'm like, all right, this is the answer for me, because I'm all about eating the 11 pizzas.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a fun experience doing yoga. And I may go back one year.
You're kind of done with it, huh?
I'm kind of over it right now.
Celebrity experiences, we talked about David Sedaris, unfortunate celebrity experience there.
Yes.
And, you know, kind of nearly a hometown guy, fellow Tar Heel.
I thought, in fact, I pointed that out to him, you know, and I said, look, you can read it on the plane. And he's like, no.
Still no. Talked about tweeting. Actually, now, and followers, Kathy Ireland, supermodel turned furniture and diet spokesperson guru, used to follow you on Twitter.
She did follow me on Twitter. And I think it's one of those cases where every now and then a famous person, if you follow them, they automatically push a little button that follows you. It's really kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, most of them don't do that. But she's, you know, as I said, my tweets are a little edgy. And she's all about the, you know, being uplifting and incredibly boring.
Yeah. It seems a little more earnest than you would tolerate.
She's very earnest. Yeah. And every night when she tweets, she says, good night, sweet angels. And I'm like, what? You know, I got nothing in common with this woman, you know.
What was your last tweet? Do you remember?
I think I said that I was trying to give a expletive about women's soccer. Having a hugely hard time with that.
Your most exciting celebrity encounter was in Atlanta, I understand.
Yes, I actually went on, it was a book tour for You Can't Drink All Day If You Don't Start in the Morning. It was an Atlanta radio station, kind of a big one, you know, some are bigger than others, and had the giant parking lot, and the place was designed to look like Tara. And I noticed when we got there, there were all these cars backed in, all black Hummers, that sort of thing. And it was Fabolous, who is a great, great rapper, and who just, he had bodyguards aplenty and everything. It was so exciting. And I wanted to ask him for his autograph for my daughter, but he slept the whole time.
Wow.
He sat in his chair and he slept the whole time.
Does he do yoga? Maybe.
I rather doubt it. But the cutest image from that whole thing was seeing his bodyguards were probably, I'm not exaggerating, maybe 350, 400 pound guys and surrounding him. But they'd all gone to McDonald's and they had their huge, big old mitts of hands were trying to open the little butter and syrup and eat pancakes, you know. It was so cute.
Fabulous. By the way, for those of you who haven't heard, Celia's new idol, apparently. Let's take a listen.
Then you gotta Can't breathe when I come to, hum to. Some shoes gotta be 20, man. It's not even funny, they can't.
So you do run into some famous people along the way, albeit perhaps, you know, sleeping from time to time.
From time to time. As a matter of fact, Beau Bridges, the actor, was making – they make a lot of movies in Wilmington, and they use our street, our neighborhood, for some reason quite frequently. And Beau Bridges was walking down the street making a movie, and it was all I could do. I wanted to run out and ask him if he could give me Jeff's autograph, but I decided that would be incredibly tacky. It's like Stephen Baldwin syndrome.
You should have done it.
It would have been tacky, don't you think?
You know, you're talking about – you've got health tips. I know you worked at yoga a little bit. It's going to be a while before you go back. You're also considering the difficult question of women of your particular age. So let me ask you what I ask all my guests.
Uh-huh.
How's menopause going?
It's not going well. It's not going well. The worst symptom of menopause is that I forget everything. I said this to someone today because it just happened. I am at the stage where I walk into a room and I forget why I'm there. And a lot of people do that. But when you walk into a room and you forget why you're there and the room has a big table, flat table with stirrups on the end, you should pretty much know that you're at the gynecologist's office, you know. But no, I space out constantly.
Going hard for you. Well, that you are also, I guess, because of these thoughts that are running through your head, you're actually contemplating your own funeral.
I am. And I am so excited because, I don't want it to happen next week or anything. But I don't know if you remember the movie Imitation of Life. Best funeral ever, okay? So I want, like, weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want the floral bearers throwing the flowers on the casket as it goes through the entire city of Wilmington, or perhaps New York, you know, if we're really thinking big. And I want people throwing themselves on the casket and screaming, no, if only it could be me. Doesn't that sound good?
Shouldn't we have our funeral before we die?
Well, if only.
I mean, just have a little, a party. Instead of a birthday party this year, let's do my funeral.
I think that's a fabulous idea, you know?
You have seen some great movies lately. We have a clip of one that you just could not seem to get enough of. Let's listen.
He may be the world's worst dog.
None of this was part of the plan.
No, it wasn't, but it's so much better.
But he brings out the best in their family.
A dog doesn't care if you're rich or poor. Give him your heart, and I'll give you his.
Well, there we go. That is a film that you saw and you didn't like.
Marley and Me.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't really understand... I know this is going to really hurt the feelings of dog people, and I'm real sorry about that, but he should have died a lot earlier. I'm just going to say it. You know what? I mean, he tripped the toddler. The toddler had the big hematoma on his head. You know, he tore up all the sofa cushions. There's feathers flowing everywhere. I said in the book, I would have to be sedated if I walked in on a scene like that. You know, I can't handle it. I just don't do the whole dog thing.
I think the best films about dogs are ones where they die. But maybe earlier is better. Cindy Rivenbarks, you don't sweat much for a fat girl. Would you read another section for us?
I would. There's a chapter, and I got a tremendous response to this when I wrote about it in the newspaper, and I tapped into something. I wasn't sure if I was the only one who had noticed it. I watch the Food Network a lot, and there's a couple on the Food Network called the Neelys. And they do Down Home with the Neelys. Very fabulous soul food. Food's great. I can't complain about that. But basically, they spend the entire half hour needing very much a room. And so it's unbelievable. So I have a chapter called A Marriage in Three Acts. In the third act of our marriage play, allow me to vent just a moment about a couple that may love each other a little too much. Please tell me that I'm not the only person who thinks Pat and Gina Neely, the nauseatingly in love stars of Food Network's Down Home with the Neelys, need to get a room with a velvet swing, mirrors, and plenty of oils that aren't Crisco. Pat and Gina Neely host a cooking show, but they baby talk, kiss, and cuddle so much it's a wonder anything gets cooked. And yes, I could turn it off, but then I'd miss the only soft porn I get all week. Plus, I'm incapable of turning off a show that promises a recipe for mac and cheese topped with strips of bacon and crushed potato chips. Incapable. So the food is fabulously, decadently Southern, but the banter? Well, this is only a slight exaggeration. Pat, Today, Gina and I are going to make some barbecue ribs that'll set your mouth on fire. Gina, you set my mouth on fire, baby. Ooh, ooh. Pat, oh, girl, when you talk like that, I can't remember whether I put the vanilla extract in the sweet potatoes or not. Gina, baby, I'm the only sweet you need. Come over here and give me some sugar. Camera nervously lingers on a pan of mashed rutabagas languishing by the sink while sounds of, baby, baby, come from somewhere near the mixmaster. Pat, and we're back. It's time to stuff that duck. Gina, you're the only duck I want to stuff. Pat, baby, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like it might be hot. Gina, Pat, come over here and watch me lick this spoon. Pat, girl, I wish I was that spoon. Gina, to camera, my husband's so bad, isn't he, ladies? You know I like to keep my man happy, and one way I do that is with my creme brulee. Pat, was that French? Because, baby, you know I like French. French toast, French fries, French kisses. Put that turkey dressing pan down, girl, and get on over here. Gina, down, boy. We have to keep our minds on what's cooking. Pat, I'd hit that. What? Pat, oh, sorry. I was just daydreaming about the time I first saw you back in middle school, and you were so fine, and my best friend Rodney asked me what I thought of you. Gina, Pat, that's enough sexy talk for one day. This butternut squash isn't going to saute itself now, is it? Pat, I'd like you to butter my nuts. Hasty commercial break. Now they come back. Gina's visibly disheveled. And we're back. And whoa, who's that at the door? Why, it's Pat's nosy butt mama again. Nosy butt mama, y'all cutting the fool up in here again? And then to Pat, I told you this trifling heifer was going to be the death of you. Gina, why, you old... Pat, separating the two women. Join us next time when Mama shows Gina how to clean the oven by sticking her head in it with the gas on. Mama, you sure that's safe? Nosy butt Mama. Oh, yes, honey. It's the only way.
Celia Reifenbach reading from You Don't Sweat Much for a Fat Girl. You get a lot more out of that show than I do.
Oh, you got it. I tell you, it's just there for the taking.
It's great. Listen, I know that you have a proposal that I think is a great idea.
Do you really?
I think it's time. I mean, Garrison Keillor is has been a mainstay of public radio a long, long time, an enormously talented guy. Mm-hmm. But you know, there comes a time, and
you have
a plan.
I have a super duper plan, and I'm determined to pitch it to the folks at NPR that have power about these things. And what I want to do is move at least the news from Lake Wobegon to Lake Wiley or Lake Jordan or just some local lake, you know. So instead of all those Minnesota tundra jokes, Powder Milk Biscuits can sponsor my show from right here in North Carolina. And I can do the different vignettes from a community where all the women are strong. I'll do that. All the men are good looking and all the children are above average. I can make the move. So news is probably my favorite part of the show, keeping everybody updated on the curious comings and goings of a tiny imaginary community of eccentrics and herring eaters, but then I repeat myself. I'd keep the format the same, but there would be no more visits to the Chatterbox Cafe for tuna hot dish, because that sounds nauseating. But here's my pitch. I would say something like, because I've been practicing how they talk, and I think I can do it. It's been quite a week here on Lake Wiley. Old Mrs. Katzenbaum had bunion surgery that everyone at the WMU had told her for years to stop putting off, but she said Mr. Katzenbaum would never be able to take care of himself if she was off her feet, so she just kept delaying the surgery until her sister agreed to drive down from Roanoke and help out a little. Mr. Katzenbaum was very happy about this, because his sister-in-law makes a better banana pudding than any of the wives who send dishes to the Lake Wiley Sons of Desperation potluck and pinatas event. Avery Whippet gives his shirt an extra puff of spray starch when he hears that Mrs. Katzenbaum's sister is coming to town. For years now, he's admired her from afar. Once he got close enough to smell her, a heady mix of Lilt Home Permanent Solution and Jimmy Dean sage sausage patties. See, that's just 30 seconds of material.
That
I'm already
fantastic.
Good to go.
Folks, write today to NPR and take up that proposal.
You think?
Well, then, news from Lake Wiley. Why not?
There's no reason why not.
If you promise not to sing, I will write in your support.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That sounds great. You will not hear any of that in or read it in Celia Reifenbach's new book, but you will read plenty of funny stuff. You Don't Sweat Much for a Fat Girl. Celia, thanks so much for being
Thank
on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Celia Reifenbach's book comes out this month. You Don't Sweat Much for a Fat Girl. She's going to be at Quail Ridge Books and Music in Raleigh on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Coming up, the chamber soul of Shauna Tucker. Stay with us.